This morning, if you would please, and turn with me to the book of Romans, the book of Romans, chapter number 10. And in just a very few moments, I'm going to read just one verse of Scripture that I simply could not get away from while seeking the Lord's perfect will for the service this morning. Pastor, thank you so much for the opportunity to be back at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. I'm absolutely thrilled not only to be invited back, but to be a part of your missions conference this year. I'm so thrilled at what the Lord is doing here. I appreciate, love, your pastor and your pastor's wife. And I know you realize this. If you don't, I hope you will come to the conclusion very, very soon of how blessed you are to have a pastor and a pastor's wife that has your best interest at heart. Any pastor that leads a church into focusing on what God commanded us to do is a pastor that has your church's best interest at heart. And we would all be very, very wise here this week to follow the faith of your pastor, as the Bible teaches us to do. And I'm so excited. Please don't ever take your pastor and your pastor's wife for granted. You know, I have four supporting churches right now, four that has no pastor, no pastor. And at this point, they don't have any prospects. They're few and far between these days, friend. So don't take your pastor and your pastor's wife for granted. And I'm so thankful to be with the Stanleys. And then to get to be with our friends, the Muscots. It's so good to see Miss Haley and Brother Blake and little Sabina. It's always a joy to be with them, some of God's choice servants. And then it's been good this morning to renew old acquaintances with some of you folks. Some of you were here the last time I was here, and it's such a blessing to see you in your same spot, being used of the Lord, and being supportive of the ministry here, and I'm so thankful. That's right, you're in the same spot. I remember the last time I was here. You know, that's just a part of being an independent fundamental Baptist. You find your place, and you stake it out, and you stay there. Well, I appreciate some of you staying there, amen. And I hope if the Lord allows me to come back, I'll see you there again. Now, let me say before I read the text this morning, I ask for a faith promise card because I'm taking this back to my room with me. And by the way, thank you so very much for the comfortable room. Your pastor and your pastor's wife, they've been so accommodating. The room is wonderful. They had a gift basket waiting on me there with lots of goodies in it. And I've already begun putting some of that into the ministry, and I appreciate that very, very much. But I'm going to take this back to my room with me. And I'll tell you what I'm going to be doing every single day when I pray for this meeting. I'm going to take this card, and I'm going to look at this card, and I'm going to pray that God would burden your heart to move forward in your missions giving in the coming year. I trust you will make it a matter of prayer yourself. And if you'll do what the Lord lays on your heart to do, if you'll listen intently, I believe with all of my heart, as we follow the faith of your pastor this week, he, with God's help, is going to lead us to greener pastures in the days to come. So I'm putting this in my pocket right now, and I will be praying over your faith promise missions giving in the coming year. If you found your place in the book of Romans chapter number 10, and if you're able, would you please stand as we read the Bible together? Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. We'll read the text and then consider the context of the Apostle Paul's writing throughout the introduction of the Bible message this morning. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. The Word of God says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'd like to back up and read this single verse of Scripture again and encourage each of you, if you would please, to read the text audibly with me. Let's read Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13 together, shall we? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to encourage you to leave your Bibles handy. We're going to be using them throughout the course of the message this morning as I preach on the thought, the people, the petition, the promise of world evangelism. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Say it for me. Saved. Father, with our heads bowed right now and with our minds open, I pray even more importantly now that you would open our hearts to the truths found within this single verse of Scripture. Father, would you please help me this morning? I'm nothing without you. Lord, please be with my precious family while I'm away from them this week and knit our hearts together in a very special way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you so much for standing. Please be seated. When you study your Bible, you'll discover that Paul's epistle to the Romans was actually the sixth in chronological order of the Pauline epistles of the New Testament of the Bible. The theme of this great book in God's Word is the gospel of God. And when I use that word gospel, I'm speaking, of course, of the truth or the message or the good news of Christ's death, burial, and glorious resurrection. And therefore, since the theme of this epistle of the New Testament is the gospel, it goes without saying, Paul has much to say about the gospel within the 16 chapters that go to make it up. Consider just a few things by way of introduction that Paul teaches us about the gospel in the book of Romans. First of all, don't turn there. I'll just quote the verse for you this morning. But in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul had a lot to say about the what of the gospel. I say that because in that single verse of Scripture, Paul, as he was led of the Holy Ghost of God to do so, is careful to tell us what the gospel is. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is." What is the gospel, Paul? He answers in the latter portion of Romans 1 and 16, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So yes, in Romans chapter number 1 and verse 16, there the Bible teaches us about the what of the gospel. Now, I've always found it interesting in the preceding verse of Scripture, Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 15, here Paul teaches us a great deal about the when of the gospel. He teaches us about the what of the gospel in Romans 1 and 16, but in Romans 1 and 15, he teaches us about the when of the gospel. Do you remember what God used Paul to write in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15? There Paul said, "So as much as in me is, listen now, I am ready." Paul said, "I am ready to preach what? Not my opinion, not what thus saith mortal men, but I am ready to preach what thus saith the Lord. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." I submit to you this Lord's Day morning, Paul was ready to preach the gospel because he realized then what you and I ought to realize in Shelbyville, Kentucky this very morning. The time to preach the gospel is now. The time to share the gospel is now. The time to send the gospel is now. And therefore, considering the when of the gospel, let me hasten to ask the Lighthouse Baptist Church this morning, are you ready? Now, we know that Paul was ready because he made that very clear as God used him to write about the when of the gospel in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. I know Paul was ready, but I'm wondering if you're ready this week. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to give? Are you ready to get missionaries to the field? Are you ready to gladly share with others what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you? I said it before, and I believe the truth bears repeating. The day to preach the gospel, to share the gospel, to send the gospel is now. Jesus said in the Gospel of John chapter number 9 and verse number 4, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. That offering you're going to give, you best get busy giving it, because the night is coming when no man can work. That neighbor you're going to reach, that co-worker, that loved one, that friend, that classmate you're going to reach with the same gospel that changed your life, you best get busy reaching them, because when we consider the when of the gospel, it ought to persuade each and every one of us from the pulpit to the last pew in the building that the time to do whatever it is we're going to do for the Lord Jesus is now. A truth that is clearly discerned when we consider Romans 1 and 15 as God used the Apostle Paul to write about the when of the gospel. So yes, Paul wrote about the what of the gospel. He wrote about the when of the gospel. But here in the text before us, Romans 10 and 13, God used Paul to write about the whosoever of the gospel. Here in our key text again, Paul said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you did such a great job a few moments ago quoting that verse with me. Let me ask you, if you would please, to read the text audibly with me again. Would you read it together with me? Let's read it together. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm preaching this first service of your missions conference on the thought, the people, the petition, and the promise of world evangelism. I believe you and I see all three here in this single verse of Scripture. And therefore, I can assure you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 is certainly worthy of our consideration. I can assure you Romans 10 and 13 is a powerful declaration of the universal availability of salvation by grace through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been insightfully stated, and I agree, Romans 10 and 13 encapsulates the very heart of the gospel in that it not only stresses the subjects of the gospel, but the simplicity of the gospel as well. And therefore, what is it that God would have both you and me to see out of this single verse of Scripture? When it comes to the people, when it comes to the petition, when it comes to the promise of world evangelism, what is it that God would have us to see? Three things directly from Romans 10 and 13. First of all, notice number one, the people described. The people described. Now, of course, later on in this verse of Scripture, we'll eventually read the words, shall be saved. Do you see those words in verse number 13? Shall be saved. And therefore, we can certainly gather that God, listen, He is extending an offer of salvation in the text. He is extending an offer of salvation. But wait a minute. Who is it, according to this verse of Scripture, that the thrice holy God of glory is extending His free gift of salvation to. Who are the people described? Now, before you answer, let me ask you this. According to Romans 10 and 13, is God offering His free gift of salvation to only a certain group of people? Because there are those that would have us to believe that today. I personally don't see how you read and study the Bible and reach such a conclusion, but there are people that would have us to believe today that God extends His free gift of salvation to only a certain group of people. I want to ask you, is that what the Bible teaches? Is God offering His gift of salvation to only a certain race of people? Is it a certain nationality, color, or creed that God is offering His free gift of salvation to? Who are the people described? Well, you and I see the people described in the first two words of Romans 10 and 13. What the Bible says, for whosoever. Would you say those two words with me? Let's say them together, shall we? For whosoever. Now, if you mark in your Bibles, I want to encourage you, underline that word, whosoever. You ought to circle that word, whosoever. You ought to highlight that word, whosoever. I say it because it is a word that is often used in the Bible in order to describe those that God extends His free gift of salvation to. For whosoever. And by the way, that is a Bible truth that is taught not only here in Romans 10 and 13, but that truth is taught from Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1 to the final amen in the book of the Revelation. We see it in type in the Old Testament. We see it in truth in the New. We see it in foreshadow in the Old Testament. We see it in fact in the New. John chapter number 3. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The people described, do you see it in the text? For whosoever. Acts chapter 2, latter portion of verse 21. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 John chapter number 4 and verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Revelation 22, latter portion of verse 17. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who did Jesus die for on the cross of Calvary? Whosoever. Who did Jesus shed His blood for on the cross of Calvary? Whosoever. Can I just say amen to what I know your pastor has already taught you? You can't pass out a gospel tract to the wrong person. You can't knock on a wrong door. You can't take the gospel to the wrong neighborhood. For whosoever the people describe. The word whosoever is a testament. It is an eternal testament to the inclusiveness of the gospel. It is a word this morning that assures a lost and dying world that God's grace isn't reserved for merely a certain group of people, but for everyone from the youngest to the oldest, from the poorest to the richest, from the lowest to the highest. The word whosoever captures, it captures the very essence of the gospel message that God's love is a boundless love and His salvation is available to all. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 assures us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now listen, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I've done a little study about that word all. Do you know what that word all means? The word all means all, and that's all the word all means. Amen. The people described. Secondly, we see the petition directed in this verse of Scripture. Our key text says, for whosoever, notice the petition described now, shall call upon the name of the Lord. The words call upon the name of the Lord signifies an act of faith. Not a work, but an act of faith and dependence upon the part of any individual that realizes his or her need of a Savior. That's what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. The words call upon the name of the Lord describe much more than just a verbal plea, but rather a heartfelt cry of trust and surrender. To call upon the name of the Lord implies an acknowledgement of one's need for God's grace as well as a recognition of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. That is exactly why the Bible in Acts chapter number 4 and verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And therefore, I could say it like this morning and be scripturally correct in saying it. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the bridge between humanity and eternity. Faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, it is the one, and may I say, the only key that unlocks the door of salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And therefore, as we consider the petition directed, I must say that whosoever may come calling for salvation, but whosoever cannot call upon the name of whosoever to be saved. It is only through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I, or for that matter the world, can be saved. It is His name and His name alone that offers hope to the hopeless, help to the helpless. There is none other name like His name. Now the casual Bible reader would hear a statement like that and he or she would say, wow, preacher, that sounds awful narrow-minded to me. Now you're getting it. That's exactly right. That's what the Bible teaches. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the door. I place special emphasis on the word the. Jesus did not say, I am a door. He did not say, I'm one of many doors. No, no. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, he said in the latter portion of verse 10 of John chapter 10, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That abundant life that Jesus speaks of in John's gospel can only be experienced as a result of calling upon one name. And that one name, according to the text, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The petition directed. So we see the people described. We see the petition directed. But then finally, notice the promise delivered. The promise delivered. What does your Bible say? Well, my Bible says it as simple as this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, here is the promise delivered, shall be saved. Would you say those three words with me? Let's say them together, shall we? Shall be saved. Not might be saved. Not, well, if God can fit it in His busy schedule. I mean, you know, God's got a lot of irons in the fire. I mean, He's feeding the fowls of the air and He's got all of these chickens. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I tell you this morning, God always delivers on His promises. God always delivers on His promises. God promised Abraham descendants as numerous as the stars of the heaven and grains of sand on the seashore, and God delivered on His promise. God promised to set His people free from the bondage of Egypt's land, and God delivered on His promise. God promised His people the land of Canaan that flowed with milk and honey, and God delivered on His promise. God always delivers on His promises. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. That's why we go. That's why we give. That's why we need to get the muskox to the country of Guyana. Because for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, which includes the people that they're going to reach with the gospel, what does the Bible say will happen if the people of Guyana call upon the name of the Lord? Well, the Bible says they shall be saved. Now, before I dismiss, I wanted to call your attention to one other truth. I told you we would consider three truths this morning out of Romans 10 and 13, and we've done that. The people described, the petition directed, the promise delivered. But I couldn't preach out of verse 13 without reading verses 14 and 15. In verses 14 and 15, we see a problem that must be dealt with. Do you see the problem? Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Do you know what World Missions Conference is all about? You know what this week is all about? World Missions Conference is about dealing with the problem. There is a problem in Guyana. There are many of the people there that have yet to hear the gospel. Well, God has dealt with the problem in that He has called Brother Blake and Miss Haley and little Sabina to take them the gospel. God has done His part. But now I wonder if we will do our part in sending them. The Bible asks a very sobering question in verses 14 and 15. How shall they preach except they be what? Sent. So yes, the people describe God has made it abundantly clear that it is His will for whosoever. It's His will for the world to be saved. The petition declared, yes, if whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord, then we see the promise delivered. They shall be saved. But how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach in Guyana without being sent by local churches, just like the Lighthouse Baptist Church of Shelbyville, Kentucky? So can I just stop right here before we have a word of prayer together and say, thank you, Pastor Stanley, for leading this church into dealing with the problem this week. Because that is exactly what we need to do as we consider the people, the petition, and the promise of world evangelism. You've listened so well. Would you bow your head with me? My Father, in Jesus' name, I'm so very appreciative for the truths found within the precious pages of your inspired, inerrant word. Father, I believe with all of my heart this is the message that you wanted to be preached this morning. And Lord, I've given it my best. Now I trust that you would do with the seed of your word that has been sown what I do not have within my power to do. Lord, allow that seed as it falls on the good ground of the hearts of these people to bring forth an abundant harvest in the days to come. I pray that every member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church would be willing to deal with the problem of sending a preacher with the gospel. Lord, I pray this Lord's Day that every member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church would address this simple yet sobering question. If every member of Lighthouse Baptist Church was like me, then what kind of missions outreach would Lighthouse Baptist Church have? And Lord, if every member was like me, what kind of church would Lighthouse Baptist Church be? Lord, in light of the people, the petition, and the promise of world evangelism, burden our hearts about the problem of getting the preachers to the field with the gospel while we still have opportunity to do so. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Pastor Stanley is coming in just a moment to extend the invitation as the Lord leads him to do so. But can I ask you, before he comes, the most important question that you've ever been asked in your lifetime? Here it is. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Does He live in your heart in the person of the sweet Holy Spirit of God? I trust that you understand Romans 10 and 13 is not just for the people of Guyana. It's not just for the people of Mexico. It's for every one of us here this very morning in Shelbyville, Kentucky. So do you know the Lord Jesus? Do you remember a time that you called upon the name of the Lord? Can I ask you a question? If you can remember the time, I'm not talking about the exact date, the exact time, no. I'm asking you, can you remember the time that you called upon the name of the Lord and asked the Lord to save you? If you can remember that time, would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, I did. I remember that. Oh, I remember that. I remember the day that I called upon the name of the Lord. Wonderful. Thank you. You can put your hands down now. You know what? I happened to notice that there were a few hands that were not able to be raised. Did you know this morning, if you'd call upon the name of the Lord, for your soul's salvation, having realized your need of a Savior, Romans 10 and 13 will apply to you. You can experience the promise. You can know firsthand what it means to experience God's free gift of salvation if you just turn from your sin to the Savior today. My Father, I pray for Pastor Stanley that You give him wisdom and discernment as he comes to extend the invitation in Jesus' name.
What to do with the gospel? Individually, have you ever done that? And if you've done that, then now what are you going to do with it? That's to help those other people. So obviously we're going to have an invitation. Brother Derek's going to lead us in a song. If you weren't able to raise your hand this morning, I'd be glad to take the Word of God and show you how you can accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Be 100% sure you're going to heaven. And obviously, let the Lord speak to your heart on what you're supposed to do with the gospel and sending these men. Brother Derek. Altar's open.